Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Hello, Max.
Hello, Tim.
It is time for us to do this audio thing we do every once and again.
I guess if I can talk to you, I'll do this.
That's right.
Yeah, I'll suffer through this podcast because I get to see you.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could see me outside of the podcast, but that's not very productive now, is it?
No, it's not. And there's like masks and things and distancing here. We're safe and hidden away in the with the knives and the dog and my weird potato sack.
I like your potato sack.
I know.
I think maybe, you know, when the holidays roll back around, I'll get you a new one.
That'd be nice because this one's, it's, I mean, my skin is calluses now, but.
And I don't know if that's your penis, but it's definitely hanging out.
That's not.
That's not your
That's
penis.
A separate infection.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we have to take you to a vet and get that looked at.
I mean, that would be very kind of you.
Yeah, they might have to lance that.
That's okay. Anything really is an improvement.
Agreed. Hey, let's talk about movies.
Yes, please.
I like it when people like our banter. We had a guy on Instagram be like, I like this movie. These guys are weird. Silly, weird guys. I like it. I don't know that guy. That was fun.
That's a we are.
Thanks, guy.
He nailed it.
Yeah, he's right. Would you like to go first? You want me to go first? What are you feeling?
What year was your second movie created?
1958.
Oh, you're going last.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. 1997.
All right.
We're chasing something this time.
There it is.
Chasing Amy.
This one I saw in the theater.
Yeah, yeah. That's 97, so you were how old at that point?
I don't know. Math.
You're, what, 13, 14?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty young. Who'd you go with? Do you remember?
A buddy.
Just a buddy?
No.
Wow. Snuck into the theater? Underage?
I just bought the ticket and went in.
Wow.
It was a different time.
It was. We don't give a fuck. Go in there.
I've seen vaginas before. Like, what, you know.
Yeah. Whatever. I've seen it, buddy. Give me a ticket.
I've seen a boob. Leave me alone.
You had a beard by then anyway.
I had a full beard.
Yeah, you're just getting Jesus.
Don't mess with the bearded kid.
Yeah, that kid's fucked up.
Kid's so dumb.
Watch this in September of 2020. It is 1 hour and 57 minutes long. It is a romance comedy.
It is.
Directed by the Kevin Smith. Starring Ben Affleck, Batman himself, Joey Lauren Adams from Biodome, and Dwight Yul from other Kevin Smith endeavors.
That's right.
Movie summary for this one is Holden and Banky are comic book artists and creators, and everything's going good for them until they meet Alyssa, also a comic book creator. Holden falls for her, but his hopes become crushed when he finds out that she's a lesbian with a storied sexual history.
Yep.
My thoughts on this movie is it seems to be quite a personal film for Smith.
It does feel very different, especially just with the other two being so jokey.
Yes. This is like, this is a romance first with comedic elements. It's not a comedy, like a rom-com or anything like that. It is a romance with a few funny parts in it, but it gets pretty dramatic. It gets really weird.
It sure does.
Like some shit in here that I was like, what? Like the ending, I think, threw everybody for a loop the first time they saw this movie. It's really out there. I think Joey Lauren Adams does a good job.
She's so great.
Yeah. She's,
my goodness.
She has a tendency, in my opinion, to overact a lot.
Sure.
So I think for this particular role, she's spot on.
Yes.
She does not overact this role. This role requires her to be really out there and raw, and I think she does. And I think Affleck obviously has, you know, come to prove in time and time again that he is also able to emotionally put it out there. And I think they both do a really nice job bouncing off each other in this film. Like, it feels their genuine interest in each other feels legit, which I think for a romance is kind of, that's your number one, right? Your leads are everything in this kind of a movie, and they feel like they genuinely are infatuated with each other, and that the anguish that they feel at each other feels legit. So I think that that works really well. Some of it's a little weird. I think Jason Lee is very weird in this movie.
Yeah, he has a weird arc.
He is.
Sure.
Yeah, it's very strange. It kind of works, but kind of doesn't. Like, he's kind of the antagonist at a point, and kind of not. It's a weird movie. It's not a good guy bad guy movie, right? It's a romance. It's complicated,
right? Because he's like, he has bad guy moments.
Yeah,
but like he legitimately, you feel bad for him too.
He's a friend. He cares. What he's saying comes from the heart, and it's really interesting. You have kind of this is the big Silent Bob break.
Yes.
in the movies. He has a whole monologue here that the Chasing Amy
Shocked.
Is named for that monologue.
Shocked me when they did that.
Yeah. So it's kind of the whole movie, you know, kind of cruxes on that. And this is also the introduction of Bluntman and Chronic, which is important for later Kevin Smith View Askew related things, because before Marvel, Kevin Smith was tying all his movies together.
Yep.
This ties in elements, obviously Mallrats ties into Clerks, and they all work back and forth in this view askew universe, as it were. But yeah, it definitely has a bleakness, but I noted that it feels authentic and haunting, and I think haunting's a nice... It took me a while to come up with a way to describe it. I think haunting's the right way.
I think so. Because when you look in, especially Jason Lee's eyes...
It's bleak.
He's just so exhausted looking.
Mm-hmm.
With the whole scenario.
Yeah, it's bleak at the end, too. It gets nasty, and things just fall apart, and they don't just magically movie come back together. They stay falling apart like life is. Like, you move on from the falling apart.
Yep.
Like, you may be able to pick up some of the pieces, but you ain't putting it back together again.
No, you can hold them.
Yeah, it feels authentic in that way, and I think has, like, kind of a haunting blackness to it at the end. Liked it, though. It's a good one. IMDb gives this a 7.2 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 85 critics gave this 87%.
Wow, that's way higher than I thought.
Yep. This one is like his big, this is it, right? Like, this one is his movie that's in the Criterion Collection. Like, this is kind of his magnum opus, at least thus far. Hopefully not, you know, forever, but thus far. Audience, 83% out of 100,000 plus people. So pretty high scores from both of them. I am coming in at a 7.5 out of 10.
That's fair. Miami.
I think it's very good.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you. I might go as high as an 8, but probably not higher.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not Clerks.
It isn't.
Not Clerks.
Confirmed. Well, I got a movie.
Whoa.
I got a movie.
Well, we need another one to get to this 4-pod P movie thing.
Oh, we're doing the pod again?
P-pod.
P-pods.
P-pod.
Fritz the Cat.
Ooh.
Talk about a controversial movie.
Yeah.
1972. Watched on the 11th of March. It's an hour 18. It is animation, comedy, drama.
You got some oldies this episode.
I do. Directed by Ralph Bakshi.
Oh, Ralph Bakshi.
This is his debut.
A weird, weird dude.
And I love this guy.
Oh, he's out there, but he is awesome.
I think he's authentically out there.
Oh, he is. 100%.
Starring Skip Hinnant, Rosetta Lenoir, and John McCurry. IMDb movie summary. Hypocritical swinging college student Kat raises hell in a satiric vision of various elements of the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
My bullet points. This is a milestone in animation, merging Bakshi and R. Crumb's work.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with Robert Crumb.
What is wrong with you?
You've definitely seen his artwork and not even realized it.
Oh, yeah. One of the most prolific indie artists of all time.
All time.
Yeah.
He's so important to comics and animation and everything, really.
Yeah.
Culture.
Yeah, you may not know about him, which I guess is understandable. You're on a movie podcast, but, you know, look up Zap Comics, then come back to me.
That cover of number one, so good.
Yeah.
Commentary on the 60s, all of it. Hippies, police, drugs, violence, etc.
This is an animated film that does all this, by the way.
Animated.
Yeah.
Animals depicting humans. Crows are black people.
Yes.
Pigs are cops.
Yes.
Fritz is a cool cat.
Yep.
Crumb did not like the voice actor for Fritz. Overall, he didn't care for the movie.
No kidding.
He hated it.
Wow.
Doesn't really acknowledge it exists.
Nice. Full Alan Moore on that one, huh?
Yeah. I mean, not as angry, I guess.
Well, I mean, who is?
Who can top Alan Moore in his cranky cave?
Nobody.
This has a sequel, The Nine Lives of Fritz the Cat, which isn't as good, but
right. You
could watch it.
Yeah.
It has moments for sure. And this is the first animated movie in history to get an X rating.
That's right.
That's the big thing, the big takeaway. It's a bunch of small stories that are woven together. Fritz is not a super likable character.
No, not even a little.
But he has moments because there's other shittier characters that appear.
That's correct.
And it's just him getting high and going through life and trying to just enjoy life.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And it is a wild thing to see.
Yeah.
Definitely not for everybody.
No.
My mother-in-law was with me for this one.
She's like, boy.
Yeah. She's like, how bad is it? I go, I don't remember. I think it's pretty bad, though.
Yeah.
I go, I haven't watched this. I was like, and I can't remember what's in the second one, what's in the first one.
Yeah.
Because there's some funny Hitler stuff in the second one.
Yep.
Funny Hitler stuff.
That's funny Hitler funny. Stuff, yeah.
Funny Hitler.
I mean, it worked in Jojo Rabbit.
It did work in Jojo Rabbit. That's Sam's favorite movie.
That is Sam's favorite movie.
I was paying attention.
Yep.
So, yeah, this is not going to be for everybody, but it is an awesome piece of animation history.
It's important.
If you're an animation buff, you should check it out at least once to say you did it, and you'll understand, I think, a lot of where we're coming from.
Still won't understand Crumb or Bakshi, but
no,
you'll have seen the film.
But I think my favorite part, because there's a lot of, like, I just want to get laid kind of stuff in there. But when he's talking to his one friend, which is the crow, and they're talking about race relations, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It's, of course, breaks down into madness, yeah. But...
Yes, it does.
For a moment there, it was... Cause
there's something
like,
there, yeah.
Because he's kind of like, I know I'm the cool cat and all, but, like, I feel your pain. I want to help you. And they're like, you don't feel shit.
Yeah.
And they go down this dark path, and yep. It's pretty interesting.
Absolutely.
So the scores, IMDb gives it a 6.3.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato critics, 21 of them, 57%.
Okay.
The audience, 5,000 some odd people, 59%.
Okay.
I gave it a 5.5.
Okay.
It's something you should watch once.
Yep.
There's elements I like. The animation's gorgeous for its time.
Bakshi is awesome at that.
Yep. And then he went on to do like all the non-Disney cartoons you liked.
Oh, yeah. Well, like Lord of the Rings and, you know, the Lord of the Rings he did. And then he did like Wizards and, you know, had a hand in a ton of, yeah, a ton of really cool stuff that Bakshi did.
Was All Dogs Go to Heaven him later?
Don Bluth.
That's Bluth. I always confuse Bluth and Bakshi. Yeah. Whatever. They're both great.
They are
both
great. Watch them both. Yeah, absolutely. Angry Curmudgeons.
Yes, that's angry how curmudgeons. You got to get angrier, kids. You can be a creative.
Did the mother-in-law give a score?
No, she didn't want to finish it.
She didn't want to finish it. Wow.
No, she's like,
I'm leaving now.
What are you making me watch?
Yeah.
I'm not making you watch anything. I told you it has moments. Yeah,
good point. I'm leaving then.
Pretty much.
All right, fair
enough.
I think
she did make me breakfast, though. That was nice.
That is nice.
It did give me gas, though.
That sounds right. So, speaking of gas,
yeah.
This kind of relates.
Life's a gas.
1999. Dogma.
Ah, this. Yes.
There's a Golgothan in this. Watch this in September of 2020. It's 2 hours and 10 minutes, and it is a comedy. Directed by Kevin Smith.
All right.
Starring Matt Damon.
There he is.
Linda Fiorentino, who's local, mm-hmm. and Alan Rickman.
Hey.
May he rest in peace.
Aww.
Love Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman, great.
Oh, yes.
And Alanis Morissette.
And Alanis Morissette as God.
That's right.
Hard to argue.
Can't. She was there.
That's right. Movie summary here. An abortion clinic worker with a special heritage is called upon to save the existence of humanity from being negated by two renegade angels who are trying to exploit a loophole and re-enter themselves into heaven.
There it is.
That's that. My thoughts on this movie is, upon this rewatch, this was the film that let me down the hardest.
This is my least favorite one.
This I used to like a lot. I would say Dogma would have probably been in my top three at a point when I first saw it.
I've never liked it. I don't know what it is about it.
It definitely doesn't hold up upon the rewatch. I think there's some cool points. I think my favorite part is Chris Rock's monologue about wishing people would just say they have a good idea instead of believing in something, because belief just tends to end in really negative results for everyone.
Right.
Where if they just said I had a really good idea, people could just move on and not get so tied into their beliefs that they're willing to kill for them, which I think is a nice way to kind of phrase that and to lightly get in his point without going too deep into it. But overall, yeah, it's just like not super great. I love the moment where they go, where Damon and Affleck go to Mubi's, which is great, and deal with the board members of Mubi's, which is awesome. But there's like a couple parts that are pretty good, but a lot of it's just like references, a lot of it to like his own stuff.
Yeah.
And he starts to really become guilty of that much more as thing goes on. It was cool before, like with the prior movies, they tied together in an interesting way where it's like, oh, that's cool, I know that person. But if you didn't know it, it didn't matter.
Right.
Now he's starting to become more guilty of, you have to know the thing it's referencing or else the joke is now lost on you.
Right.
And that's a problem. I think overall it's cool, but it's not that interesting. I think the funniest part in the movie, in my opinion, like the outright funniest, is early on Jay's trying to get the main character to have sex with him. And he's like, well, what if the world's about to end and, you know, we're moments from death? Would you have sex with me then? She's like, yeah, I guess we could. And like, they're about to die. And he just starts taking his clothes off out of nowhere. And she's like, what are you doing? He's like, we're all about to die there. You know, we only have moments left. You said you'd have sex with me. It's like, that part genuinely every time makes me laugh, because he just, like, he sees what's happening and instead of doing anything useful, he just starts to disrobe, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So made me laugh very, very hard, that part. But overall, there's more good than bad, but only just enough to skate by with an acceptable score for me. IMDb gives it a 7.3 out of 10 because they're very generous over that way.
They are.
Rotten Tomato Critic, 127 of them, give it a 67%.
Okay.
The audience, who is even more generous than IMDb, 250,000 plus, give it 85%.
Wow.
I'm coming in a decent clip under everybody with a 5.5 out of 10.
I could see it, man. Yeah.
Only there.
I tried to enjoy this movie and I really just couldn't.
Yeah.
Overall, comparatively, I couldn't enjoy it.
Agreed.
Well, Max, I'm going to end this the only possible way we can.
In the 50s.
Yep. 1958, The Robot versus the Aztec Mummy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is a title.
It sure is. I watched it on the 13th of March, 2021. It's an hour five, so just barely a movie.
Just barely a movie.
Genre horror sci-fi, directed by Rafael Portillo, starring Ramon Gay,
Rosita
Arenas, and Croy Alvarado, I think I wrote.
You got to roll that R a little bit harder on Alvarado. Thank you.
IMDb movie summary. A mad doctor builds a robot in order to steal a valuable Aztec treasure from a tomb guarded by a centuries-old living mummy.
Of course that's what he's trying to do.
Of course.
That's how you do it.
There's no other way.
No, I don't know
another
way.
This is the
50s. Yeah.
My bullet points, Mexican horror movie.
Yeah, that's exciting.
It is. I found out later this was on Mystery Science Theater 3000, which kind of made me want to go watch that. I don't know how you feel. Are there any movies from that series that you just kind of enjoy, that you like, and you're like, why are they pooping on it so bad?
None that I'd say, why are they pooping on it so bad, but ones I'm just like, ah, I still like it. I don't care. Yeah.
Fair. Because I was on the fence with this one. I wanted a classic-looking robot, and I got it, you know, with the light bulb-shaped head and the square, huge feet.
You gotta have that box
the
robot.
The pincher.
Yeah.
All of that.
Yep.
I like how older movies rely on storytelling to move the plot along.
Yeah.
This one has a lot of scenes of just guys sitting in a room like, well, pull up a chair and I'll tell you what happened next. The doctor came in and then blah, 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 blah.
The classic movie ethos of tell, don't show.
Yes. There's a lot of that. But then it's funny because there's other times where there's like big-ish set pieces. It's pretty interesting. Oh, there's a scene that just really cracked me up. So you find out that this one doctor is evil and he's the one who's going to be building the robot. And they attack him.
They're vinyl stools. And my phone sounds like I'm farting.
I was trying to ignore it, but I just couldn't.
You can't ignore fart noises.
No, fart noise is great. They go to attack this scientist. They're trying to stop him. He falls into a random pit of snakes.
Of course he does.
I was dying.
That's
like,
great.
Because at this point, you're like, okay, is he bad? And then you're like, okay, I think he's bad. And then you're like, well, okay, is he misguided? Is he completely bad? But then he randomly has a pit of snakes. And it's so hilarious. And he just goes, woof, and he falls in. And it's just like, oops, pit of snakes. Well, that'll show him.
It had to be snakes.
And of course, it always has to be snakes. He has a secret in the pit, so he's able to escape.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so silly. We went back to look for him in his pit of snakes, but he had left.
Uh-oh.
Secret entrance. This movie is so silly, but I liked it. It was dumb.
It sounds like it's a good dumb time.
It really is. And Mexican horror, everybody. So
absolutely.
The subtitle's a little off. The voiceover a little off.
Sure.
But it's okay.
That just adds to it.
Yeah. IMDb gave it a 2.5.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. Rotten Tomato critics did not. 500-plus people on Rotten Tomatoes audience score gave it a 6%.
Yikes.
I don't agree with that, but man, it shouldn't be high.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
I gave it a 3.5.
And that's genuine. Like, it's, you know what you're getting into.
Yep.
But there's enough there. Yeah. 6 is, come on.
My mother-in-law.
Oh, boy.
Of course sat through this with me.
She sat through this.
Gave it a 4.0.
Oh.
However, the subtitles get a 5.0.
Oh, boy.
Because they're hilarious.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the line delivery of the dub, but the subtitles completely different.
Ooh, that's exciting.
And yeah, they're too much.
That's great.
So that's it, everybody. Go build a robot.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, boop.